Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hey guys, it's Jose here. I'm here with Marty Sliva.
Hey everybody.
So really quickly, this is a preemptive warning. Mm-hmm. The audio you are about to listen to was recorded live here at IGN. Yeah. We had a Street Pass event where a little over 100 people came in to listen to a live MVC and also Street Pass and, you know, get some Bravely Default codes and whatnot.
We had some giveaways. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So, and if you were part of that audience, thank you very much for attending again.
Seriously, all of you guys were great.
Yeah, you don't know. It means so much to us that you were able to come out and support us. For the rest of you, you're going to hear the show, but again, be prepared for some slightly wonky audio. We did our best to clean it up. Of course, it may not be perfect, but we tried our best.
You say wonky, I say high energy.
There we go.
Yeah.
And with
two
that,
sides of that coin.
And with that, on with the show.
Nintendo!
Welcome to Nintendo Voice Chat for the week of March 13th, 2014, a very special live podcast edition. Thank you very much for being here. I am your host, Jose Otero, and I am joined by a great panel here. So first one to my left, Per Schneider.
Hi.
That's it?
That's my catchphrase.
All right, there we go. Samuel Claiborne.
Hey, listen.
Brian Altano.
Hi.
And Marty Sliva.
Hey, everybody.
All right.
You got some boos.
Yeah, I know. Ouch. I'm on an Xbox podcast.
They're saying boo-eared.
So, sweet. First order of business real quick. Let's talk about news. So, today was NPD Thursday, which is a monthly event, right? We get numbers every month, sort of. You know, press releases saying how games did. The surprise for us this month was that last month, Bravely Default did really well. It came in at number 10 on NPD.
We just gave away 7 copies.
Yeah.
That's right. Over the edge.
That's right. So for 2014, they're saying that it increased on Fire Emblem by 10%, sold 200,000 copies, and this game came out February 7th.
That's really good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
For an RPG to have legs like that, a portable platform, very happy for that.
Also, it has a really marketable name, Bravely Default.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm always super excited to Bravely Default.
That's just going
to
reinforce Square using crazy names.
They're still doing it, yeah.
Also, one could say that was the game of the month.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
On IGN. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. Holy cow. I'm not good at my job. Also, there were some other numbers. Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze sold 130,000 units. This was released on February 21st. So that's not bad. It's not great, but it's already better.
How many days
is
that? The NPD cuts off earlier than the end. So
that's
probably like 3 days or something.
Yep. And lastly, Pokemon X and Y is still selling on its fifth month. It sold 130,000 copies. And it is at 3.4 million digital and retail sales in the U.S. alone. Now, you're talking about a game that also in Japan did 4 million as well. So Pokemon easily was their best performing title. It's doing really good.
Nobody saw that coming.
No.
That's right.
It's a fad.
Yeah.
All right. So for this episode's topic, we decided to bring up something that's a little divisive, sort of a debate club kind of style thing. We all love Nintendo games here.
You're wrong.
Oh, you? Well, I am?
Oh, I know. I was
getting started.
I thought this was a debate club.
He's being contrarian.
Oh, already? Jeez. Yeah.
I partly agree with Brian.
So
I disagree with Sam.
Our topic for this episode is 2D games versus 3D games. Our favorite Nintendo franchises face off. So we're going to talk about three franchises, so we're going to take some breaks in between. But the point of the debate is just kind of to point out each sort of brand's or franchise's selling point. Like, what's the better version? Was 2D the better implementation, or was 3D the way to go? So we're going to start with Mario, because Mario is always the favorite topic.
Easy.
Easy?
2D, okay. 2D for sure.
Okay, what's your favorite Mario? Say which
Mario,
one.
Mario 64, I'm kidding. no, I mean, I think the 3D Mario games were fantastic. There's so many good games, but if you go back, I always feel like Mario is all about precision jumping, right? And that's something that Mario 64 lost, right? We'll talk about Zelda later, but I always felt like, you know, just that it makes such a difference if you jump just a millisecond too late. And I think, you know, Super Mario Brothers 3, Super Mario World, those games are just so fantastic. And as cool as Mario 64 was, it just can't come close, I feel.
Okay, Sam?
You know what I feel. I'm really into, okay, 2D Mario all the way, right? Are you writing this down?
Maybe.
I'm only saying I really like contemporary Mario games. I'm a big fan of Sunshine. I just played Sunshine again. But my favorite Mario game of all time is Super Mario Brothers 3, and that's, I think, the big contentious issue. We actually have had some meetings about this recently.
That's right.
And most people in this office, I would say, like Super Mario World probably the best.
That's right.
And I think that's like maybe some kind of generational shift I missed out on, because I don't remember anybody thinking that.
Okay.
I've always thought Mario 3 was the one, and I don't know when that changed. Maybe. World does all the same stuff, right?
Yep.
It might do it better, but
that's true.
Yeah. Oh, man, Marty cannot wait
so,
to
hold on.
Say.
No, I mean, you got to mark down. We had two correct answers.
All right, check for you and check for you. Brian.
I just wanted to point out that IGN's Greg Miller is walking around with his 3DS getting street passes, but he's shaking it in the air. As I think he thinks that's how that works.
That's how Nier works.
Yeah, that's exactly how Nier works.
Dude, that's that's the street pass rain dance. You haven't heard about that?
So I grew up playing 2D Mario games. They're some of my favorite things in the whole world. Like, they're 2D Mario is the reason I work at IGN today. Like, I grew up playing those games. Each one that came out, no matter how strange it got, with Mario 2, Mario 3, where he could fly, it felt insane to me.
What's so weird about that?
Oh, it's totally normal, right? I'm an Italian guy from the East Coast. It's totally normal.
How did you get here? Hold on, you weren't born here. How did you get here?
I ate a raccoon and I flew. But Mario 64 is the one that was like, that blew my mind. When I first saw it in a Toys R Us, I walked up to it and I picked up the controller and I didn't understand how this was something I could use to play video games, because it was like this trident and it looked like a Bowser claw, and I'm like, where do I hold? I need three hands for this thing.
Everybody holds it on the outside too.
Exactly.
Like when
the first time they hold it. That's right. Yeah.
So the more I got to playing it, the more I realized that they took everything I loved from playing the old Mario games and they made something that changed the way video games we played forever. And to this day, 3D games owe everything to Mario 64. So to me, it's all about that.
Didn't you have a friend at the time who was like, well, Lara Croft does that too?
Yeah, he was an idiot.
And Jumping Flash. Remember Jumping Flash? Everybody remembers Jumping Flash, right?
Yep.
Aw.
Wow, one. Greg Miller remembers Jumping Flash.
Just one. All right, Martin.
I agree with absolutely everything that Brian said, except that at the end of the day, he's just wrong.
Like, yep.
I mean, the 2D Mario's, like, Super Mario Brothers just informed the video game grammar for how all games would be created after that. It informed movement, level design, music, you know, artistic direction, and then moving on to, like, the way a series evolves from 1 to 2 to especially 3. Like, 2 had that sort of, I don't know, like the NES syndrome of the, not syndrome because it's a great thing, of the second game, the series being weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like you had Castlevania 2 just being sort of that bizarre, well, let's do something different. You had
Zelda
2, absolutely.
Lolo 2.
Lolo 2.
Just kidding,
2.
That game was exactly the same.
Yeah.
Goonies 2.
But then just to, was that it? Ryan Scott's
game?
Mega Man 2.
So I love, Mario 3 is amazing, but honestly, Mario World to me is the pinnacle of video games.
I agree.
There is no video game better. Like, I enjoy
I
video games
into
more.
I thought you were Mario World when we were talking about this the other day.
Mario World. That's what I just said.
Oh, right? I thought you said 3.
Yep. Okay.
I don't know. Right. I jumped to Mario World. To me, Mario World is that game that, like, I got when I think I was 6. I got my Super Nintendo, and that was the thing that set me on this path today. So, yeah, to me, it has to. And I mean, I love the 3D games.
It's also a game you can pop in now, and it looks great. right? Yeah. I feel like Super Mario World is like the game in the entire series that has just aged so gracefully.
Mario 64 still looks great.
No,
it's yes, it does. Bit,
it's the Super
it looks
Nintendo.
Good on the little TV.
Everyone's shaking
desk.
Their head no. All right, I'm going blind. I'm sorry.
So I wanna push back a little though because I do like that the arguments right that for 2D Mario set sort of the grammar for how sort of games evolved and how platforming especially evolved, and you know with Brian I'm also with Brian on this actually I think 3D
Thanks,
Mario is the better implementation because I feel like it sort of makes the world work better and if we want to go by history I mean. Yeah, 2D Mario informed the way games sort of evolved, but 3D Mario evolved the way 3D games evolved. Like
100%.
You saw like other developers, like for example, the Tomb Raider example, where you were moving, doing mathematical problems in order to figure it out. And I loved it back in 1994, 95, whatever year that came out, but or 96. I might be a year early there. But I still feel like Nintendo completely figured out the importance of freedom of movement and of moving around in a 3D space on an extra plane. They got it before anybody did. And I think every time they go back to that well, they do it in a way that is still making me smile today.
You're right. They did this. They really, you know, Mario 64 really was a big departure from the 2D platformers. Even though you look at the game and obviously, you know, it shares the same enemies and color schemes and all that and the music. But, you know, the original games were all about kind of running really fast through a level and jumping on people, right? They quickly noticed that it's really difficult to jump on a Goomba in 3D. And so that just becomes a tiny element in that game, right? So it became more about exploration.
Yeah.
I really liked that, but I always felt, you know, for me, that's the Legend of Zelda franchise. It's about that kind of wonder when you step into a big open room and you explore. I love Mario 64, but I just kind of feel like pure Mario was Mario World.
Yeah,
you know?
And honestly,
well,
one of the...
Oh, yeah, go ahead. No,
just one
next.
Of the... really quick on Mario 64. Like, one of the things that really bums me out about video games is that I sort of realize we're never going to have that jump again.
Yeah.
That was a...
Yeah.
Well, maybe a one or a two-time thing. Yeah.
What about headsets?
Maybe Oculus. Maybe 3D.
Virtual headset?
No?
I hope, but yeah. I do not think Oculus Rift will be able to give us that jump.
And just to the point of, like, Mario 64 doesn't look good today, I agree with that, but also when you look at the technology, like, when 3D was first sort of born and finding its legs, I don't think developers at the time realized how important art direction can be to hide some of those flaws. Like, of course Mario 64 looks sort of weird today because it's an old game that is from, you know, over a decade ago. However, you look at Mario Galaxy, which is not running, you know, on the current hardware we have today.
Is it 1080p?
It's not at all.
How many resolutions?
But it's 480p.
Tell me the number now.
480p. However, it's still the power of that art direction really helps, right? And I think that sort of is going to be the thing that informs games moving forward.
You know, Mario 64, you can play it right now and it feels great. You know, like if you go back and play the original Tomb Raider, not only will the textures twitch all over the place and it looks really pixelated, but the controls are really outdated, right? Like they took the original Prince of Persia where you run running down a corridor and you see a hole and you're like, oh, I'm going to have to jump in 2 minutes. And you're like, and then at the edge, right, the prince jumps. And Tomb Raider did the same thing.
Yeah.
But they didn't learn from that kind of delay. And like, you die so many times in the original Tomb Raider, right? Whereas Mario, you play right now and it's like the control is so snappy. It's so fast. It's still really, really good. But I think everybody forgets what it looks like because you've played updated versions, right? From the S on, you know, everything was made to look a little prettier. But if you go back, he's looking really squat and blocky now if you go back and play it.
Okay. So if Nintendo were to announce a Mario game tomorrow, which we hope they don't, because let me tell you, there's been a lot of Mario games in the past, what, 2 years, three? There's been like four. What format do you want? You want 2D or you want 3D?
3D.
3D?
3D.
Yeah.
Everyone?
Well, we just got so many 2D ones, right? I mean, we just got Yoshi, too. It feels like we've had a lot of 2D games. Now I'm ready for a big 3D open Mario.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready for them to just take the leash off Mario and go. I'm not even. I want to go not quite Galaxy, but back to like Sunshine 64. Just give me a very large space that I don't have to run around in a sphere.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I just want Metroid Prime.
It's funny you mentioned that.
I can go back and just play Mario for the rest of my life. But I love all those games.
So everybody who was like, oh man, 2D Mario's are the best, was also just like, no more of those, give me the 3D one. Great debate, guys. You lose.
I was going to like point out, like everything you guys are saying, like I'm not going to like slag Mario 64.
No.
Yeah, it's the greatest game ever made.
Exactly.
Besides a couple other Mario games that are almost exactly as good.
I'd give Mario.
Time, you know?
I'd give Mario 64 a 10 now, retroactively going back.
Did you review it?
No, I didn't.
Did Matt?
Because I would have given it a 10. I don't know who reviewed it. Doug, I think.
To me, the main problem with those Mario games is that Super Mario World is the greatest 2D platformer of all time.
It gets a 10.10, actually.
It gets a 10.10, but Banjo-Kazooie is a better Mario game than Mario 64.
That's just...
Marty.
All right, so I want to ask the audience just really quick by show of yay or... Oh, well, I guess for either party.
How can they show yay?
No, they can shout yay. Oh, sorry. Okay. I didn't mean to say that. Wow, yay. Quick recovery, yeah. So if Nintendo were to announce a Mario game tomorrow... How many want 2D?
Scream.
Scream. If you want 2D
nobody
game.
Wow, you, nobody, you literally got one yay in the corner.
What? Yeah. That's right. Incredible.
How many want 3D? You can do better.
I wanted both. You can't do that. That's a hanging Chad.
He's like, I just want Mario games. I don't care what you give me. It doesn't matter.
But, Brian, that's like going to the steakhouse every day on the eighth day saying, hey, you guys want some steak?
Yeah.
Right? Like, we've had so many 2D.
Here, there's an eighth day.
Only in Germany.
In Germany. It's there the we day go. We work.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about Zelda, 2D or 3D, which one is really the better game.
That's easy.
No, it's not.
We can do this right now, okay? Got it. It's 2D.
Adventure game sort of wrote the script or helped figure it out better than The Legend of Zelda, right? I mean, are there Zelda fans in the audience here? Yes, yes. Zelda is an amazing brand and an amazing series because it makes you feel like you really explored a world. And when it's at its best, it does that better than any other game. So the question, as earlier, what Zelda game is better? The 2D Zeldas? Or the 3D Zeldas. Now, this is a big divisive one, so I can't wait to hear what you guys have to say.
They're getting angry.
Wait, well, what? How, well, how does Link Between Worlds...
That's 2D. So, oh, yeah, just for context, 2D perspective, you know, fixed perspective, not a perspective that will move around. When it moves around, it's a 3D perspective. It's like Ocarina of Time.
So all the handhelds are 2D, except for Ocarina 3D.
What about Spirit Tracks?
That's 3D.
Whoa.
Oh, no, it's 2D. It's 2D. Sorry, it's 2D.
That's 2D.
All the handhelds except for Ocarina 3D are 2D.
Okay.
Right?
And Majora's.
I don't want to think about this. I want you guys to run with it.
Bleeding out my ear.
There's a 400-page guide under each of your chairs.
All right, I'll actually look. I'll start. 3D, for sure. And you know, depending on the year, if you ask me what's your favorite game of all time, I always flip-flop between A Link to the Past and Ocarina of Time. I love those two games. Obviously, Ocarina... Are you okay? Ocarina owes a lot to Link to the Past, but you know that feeling that you get when you play that game for the first time, you just step into the open world, and like when you figure out that you can ride the horse, or when you go into that first temple and you look up or you look down and fall through the spider web, like it has all these amazing moments. And I feel like, you know, the 2D games always dazzle you with puzzles where you're moving something around, you feel like the smartest guy in the world because you're the only one who figured out that puzzle, right? And it's great, but it doesn't have that same sense of, like, just living an adventure. I really love that about Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask,
all those games. So let me ask you something about that. Did you play Ocarina first or Link to the Past? So you did play that first?
And that was my favorite game, bar none, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I played Link to the Past back in the day a little bit, but then I played Ocarina. That kind of got me back into games after I stopped playing games for a little while, and it's my favorite game of all time besides Metroid Prime. Like, I think it's great. I would decide on, you know, that's my favorite Zelda game, but people always like try to belittle that game to me now, and they're like, oh, it's just a remake of Link to the Past. It does all the same stuff. And when I went back and played Link to the Past again recently, I was like, it does do a lot of the same stuff. But does that matter? I don't think it matters to me. But I do hear people saying that as like a reason why Ocarina of Time isn't, you know, the greatest Zelda game.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think all the Zelda games have that basic template, right? Like, young boy who doesn't know anything about the world goes out and then basically has to collect three MacGuffins.
But this has like two worlds
and then
also,
and the all the different
dungeons.
And again, I would never
make that argument, but it bums me out when I think about that now.
But, I mean, think about it. Majora's Mask has that too, right? You have three worlds, basically. Like, each day is like a different dimension in a way. So I think they all follow that template. I wouldn't just link those two together.
Mm. Link those two? Yeah, you got it, Jose.
Nah, I got it too. Nice job.
Give me a point.
All right. Thanks. One prepare.
So which one do you like better, Ocarina?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny. I didn't play much Zelda until I played Ocarina. Like, I played a little bit of all of them. I just wasn't a Zelda kid. For some reason, I was, like, really into Mario, and I was like, I didn't like Zelda. I don't know. I can't explain it.
Really?
So, but weird. That was good because I went back and got to play them all recently. In fact, I played The Legend of Zelda for the first time start to finish, like, what was it, last year?
Yeah.
And I would come to work every day, and I'd be like, Brian, I don't know what to do next. I have this and this and this, and Brian would be like, go three screens over, burn this, and he just has that entire game in his brain.
I do.
It's really amazing.
There should be better things up there, but I don't need them up there. I want to know where each bomb and rupee is, and they're all just ingrained in my
memory. You forget your fiance's birthday.
No, I don't even know her name. I seriously just don't even know her name. But if you need like 100 rupees in that game, I can get it to you before you go in the first temple.
And I always
sorry, honey.
I've heard you say before, The Legend of Zelda, the first one is like your favorite Zelda, right?
Yeah, totally. That's why I like the 2D Zeldas, to me. Like, actually my favorite Zelda game is Link's Awakening, which is like, it's...
You and me, man.
It's because it's the only one that has Kirby.
Is that your fiance?
That's my fiance. This one would have changed.
We're going to go play Link's Awakening tonight, you and me. But I feel like the 2D Zeldas just... They've kind of consistently nailed it, and every single, like, even with A Link Between Worlds, which just came out, it proves that you can still make games like that, and they still work. And the 3D ones are great, but I feel like you could take a lot of the Zelda elements out of that, and they'd be more just sort of, I don't want to say it, but it would be just a generic action game if you stripped down some of the Zelda stuff.
Fish-posh.
Yeah, well, whatever. And I shot you down. I did. That was me shooting you down. So I like the 2D ones better. I think Link's Awakening's fantastic. I like how they're on handhelds. I like that I can bring them everywhere, which they started to do with Ocarina of Time for the first time. But even the weird ones like Zelda 2, people hate that game. I think it's really cool. I think it's hard, and I think if you hate that game, you should be better at video games.
I think they hated it. Nice. I think they hated it because it wasn't exactly the same.
Yes.
And in a way, I think that reception shaped really how people make sequels nowadays, right?
Yeah.
I think everybody's afraid to take a risk and really switch up the game systems and everything. Mm-hmm. That's the only RPG in the series, by the way. The second game is the only one with
by
kind
IGN
of traditional RPG elements. Well, you know, stats building and all that. So.
Mm-hmm. What about the CDI games?
So I think we've had this conversation before, too. Like, I love the original Legend of Zelda now, and I didn't have any love for it back in the day. And one of the reasons is that it has a quality that I like in games now that they're so rare, they're definitely not in Zelda games anymore, that you could just, like, venture out. You can go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, it's there's no...
Exactly.
I don't
hand-holding.
I don't necessarily... Yes, that's true. But I guess I'm talking about this sense of wonder and exploration in having a whole world to explore from the start. There's no areas that are like, you can't go in here yet, because you probably don't even know you can go in the dungeons.
Or there are areas like that, but they kill you rather than tell you.
Yes, exactly. Right. The enemies are really hard. Like, 3D Game Heroes actually did a really good job at simulating a Zelda game like that, where it's like, you can go as far as you want towards the edge of the map. You can see this waterfall. You might even find something cool there, but you also might get killed.
And Link Between Worlds nailed that again. Like, for me, I went and I played all the temples, like, I played the hardest one first and I died immediately. And I'm like, man, that's crazy. But if I go and play Ocarina of Time, I hang out for like 10 minutes and the fairy's like, yo, man, we gotta go talk to that tree. I'm like, I don't want to talk to the tree right now. I want to go look in the woods. No, we should go talk to the tree, like, right now.
Wait, was your fairy a guy? Was your fairy, like, a bookie?
I imported the game from a foreign land. It was a ROM hack.
Super quick question. So you Link Between Worlds was your game of the year last year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What about, was it any of your guys? I know, Jose, you were Mario.
No,
right?
I was Mario 3D World, yeah.
Did you have Link Between Worlds as your game of the year?
No, Fire
Sam?
Emblem.
Fire Emblem.
No.
Okay.
So it was just me?
Okay, it was just, well, there's a lot of games.
It's okay,
games.
You could be alone.
I was Fire Emblem 2.
Okay. Fire Emblem 2, the original.
Fire Emblem was my favorite game.
Okay. Wow.
Oh, wow.
To me, this is the toughest of the three.
Or Animal Crossing.
The three that we're putting up tonight.
Yeah, hands down.
Yeah. And as much as, honestly, like, everything Sam said about Zelda 1, everything both you said about Zelda 1, like, I adore. And Link to the Past is one of those rare games that I play every year. Mm-hmm. And I still find new things, and I still, like, find new ways to admire it. But I'm going 3D just because the way the series was willing to take risks throughout 3D, especially in a couple ways, from Ocarina to Majora's Mask. And Majora's Mask is my favorite Zelda game of all time.
Wow, you and Colin Moriarty.
Yeah.
It's just, true.
Just true. Because it's insane.
You didn't get a lot of claps for that.
No, I got a really strong woo from the corner, and that's like worth 2,000 claps.
I'm gonna try that. Majora's Mask is amazing.
Yeah.
That's great.
It does something really crazy. The way it plays with time, the way it plays with just like a sense of a community that evolves over 3 days.
The way it messes with you. You start the game and you're Link, and then in 10 minutes you're not.
Yeah,
and then suddenly all your rupees are gone.
Yeah.
And then there's this creepy man with masks. Awesome.
Yeah, sounds really fun, you guys.
You can just go play Link's Awakening.
I will, fine.
With your buddy.
Good.
Your fiance.
Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, I don't know.
Link's Awakening DX.
No, I like the original because we'll not get into it. We'll talk about it.
You can break out of the wall.
Yes, that's exactly why.
Like the Kool-Aid Man? Wait, what?
It's really cool. Yeah, there's a glitch where you can kind of just walk outside walls and then you can walk around anywhere on the map.
And when they put that game in color for the first time, it felt like watching, it was like a black and white movie that was in color and it just didn't feel right.
All right.
Remember when that guy was in love with a goat in that game?
Yes.
All right, hang on. I want Marty to finish his talk.
Okay, so the jump to Majora's Mask, just insane. The artistic risk taken with Wind Waker. And Wind Waker HD is one of the most gorgeous games ever. Seriously. And that game will never, that game is timeless.
That's right.
Absolutely timeless. So my big thing is, and I'm not a big Skyward Sword fan, but I'm really hoping that whatever the next 3D Wii U Zelda game is, that Nintendo is willing to take that risk. And I don't know whether it's have it be the Legend of Zelda, have it be the Legend of Link, and you play as Zelda. Yeah. I don't know whether it's...
That'd be awesome.
We brought it up as a joke on the podcast, but what if you didn't have a sword for a lot of the game?
There was the CDI game called Zelda Adventure.
The elevator's over there, Pear. You can just take it down to the first floor.
It's very bad. Yeah. But
I'm tired of people slandering those games. They're cool.
Wand of Gamelon was cool.
Yes.
I have them. Next time we should hook them up. They're absolutely awful.
Oh, we can play them with a live audience?
They're so bad.
Okay, I like that. Yeah.
They were not made by Nintendo. They're really bad. Yeah. So what you were saying about both Majora's Mask and then Ocarina of Time, I always felt that when you look back now, they introduce some gameplay elements that are now very commonplace and we take for granted, right? The feel of riding a horse. That didn't exist before that game, right? Now you can play games like Eco and the horses. Crazy horse that never does what I want to do.
We do that horse one more time?
But no.
Yeah,
but,
one more time.
But you know, you play Skyrim. All these games let you ride around. Ocarina really was the first game to do that in a 3D world.
Oh, I'm glad you clarified
so
that.
Good.
Because before that, you said that you made it sound like they invented riding a horse.
Yeah, no, there were no horses in the world anywhere. And then, you know, there are all these other 3D elements that we take for granted. For example, you know, they looked at their controller and they said, oh, crap, we don't have enough buttons, right? So they got rid of the jump. Which, you know, when you compare it to the older Zelda games, not a big deal, right? Zelda 2, you could jump, but not in the other games. But the moment you play a 3D game, you kind of feel like you want to be able to jump that fence, and they took that out. And I think it's a huge risk, and it took people a while to really understand, you know, how you get around. But it's so brilliant when you think about
it now. Yeah,
no, it's awesome. Let us not forget it has the best soundtrack out of any Zelda game.
That's not
true. That's
not true, though.
Oh, come on. It's about
music.
I would
give that to A Link Between Worlds. A Link Between Worlds.
Sam and
has the best soundtrack.
Shots fired.
So I do want to say this, though, or I do want to make this point. It's interesting, though, that when Zelda and Mario both went 3D, I feel like Mario didn't hold your hand, but Zelda did, because part of it was an adventure, and they wanted to make sure that you saw everything along the way, whereas in Mario, it's a big playground that you got to jump around in instead. And it wasn't about direction. I mean, you can talk to someone in Mario who'll tell you where to go, but it's not like the fairy who stops you every couple seconds. It's Brian's bookie fairy who says, hey,
yo, we got to go see that tree. Come on.
Exactly. So I just find it kind of interesting that one game held on to the exploration and being open, and if anything, opened up more, and the other sort of retracted instead and became more focused.
Sure.
That was really, really well put.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that happened in my mind. But my vote, Wind Waker is my favorite game of all time, and I can't ignore that. As much as I want to say 2D Zeldas are better, I will never forget sailing through that ocean and being a part of that world and the way it sort of unfolds. And even though part of it is guided, it's still really fun to sort of explore. And if anything, out of all the 3D Zeldas, I feel like it's one of the ones that's less guided. It's less about telling you where to go as much.
For sure.
Although you have a stone that, you know, someone can communicate to you through telepathy, or you have a boat that gets kind of moody and says, hey. Yeah, exactly.
So is the definitive version HD?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Just because of everything that they improved and fixed in it, I absolutely think
so. Swift Sail?
Huh?
Do you like the Swift Sail?
Oh, yeah. No, it was a really good move.
I want the same question that you asked before. If Nintendo announces Zelda tomorrow,
Okay. If yeah. Zelda,
what do you want to be?
Zelda tomorrow. What do you want to be? You kick it off.
Holy no, crap! No, we'll start with Pear.
3D.
He's an elder.
3D, of course.
Oh, you want the Zelda Wii U demo? That's what you want?
Yeah, I'd love that. You know what? Honestly, if they came out and they said, here's a sequel to Wind Waker, and it used that art style, and you know the water has receded, and go at it, I would be so happy.
Okay.
I'd love a game like that. But I feel like in order for the Wii U to get to a bigger audience, you kind of have to go with that like graphically impressive game. You know, yeah. Something that is more, like people get it. They're like, sure. Oh, it's a cartoon. Right.
Can I ask a question to the room real quick? Why does everybody want like a gritty, realistic Zelda?
Yeah, I don't understand that
Wait,
either.
Does the room want that? Yes or boom? Yes? No?
Oh, this was a bad idea. I'm sorry.
Everybody started yelling. All right, Sam, what about you?
I agree with him about art style, but I really think that Zelda should be Skyrim. That captures the essence of the Legend of Zelda.
But with
you go out into a giant world.
Case.
I don't care. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, it doesn't sure. have to be a gritty, you know, Arctic environment, but it needs to be a giant open world, the most technologically impressive game on the market, which is going to be a hard thing to do now, and it needs to meet these like kind of requirements of having a big area to explore where you don't expect anything, and it doesn't tell you
Dark
where to
Souls
go. 2. Yeah, exactly. No, other games
yeah,
are doing this.
No one's your friend.
But
in Dark
Zelda
Souls
did
2.
That originally.
That is Zelda 1, yeah.
And that's what
yeah.
Zelda did. Even through Ocarina, I think that was a big focus of that series, and I don't know why it's not that now. I wish it was.
All right, Brian. Zelda announced tomorrow, 2D, 3D.
3D.
Oh, how funny.
It's only because we just got a really awesome 2D Zelda game. Otherwise, that would be like 2D forever, but we just got a really awesome 2D one. We also got a really awesome 3D one last year, but it was a remake. But I want a new Zelda game, and I want it to be like Ocarina because I want something that is kind of cartoony. I don't want a gritty, realistic Zelda game because I think the second you start introducing like reality into that world, the less that world makes sense. Right? Like in Fallout, 5 minutes in, they're like, oh, you're carrying too many things. Put all that stuff down. In Zelda, you have like 200 bombs in your pocket. So 5 minutes in, they'd be like, you have 200 bombs? Are you crazy? Put those down. Walk away. Wait, you have 4 swords? What are you, nuts? So I want a 3D Zelda, but I want it to be cartoony. I want like something like Wind Waker, but obviously not exactly like that. I want something familiar, but also a little bit new. So basically, I'm every awful Zelda fan that will never be happy.
All right,
and it should only take place over 3 days.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, Marty.
Everything that Brian just said, except that I want the one gameplay crux that's just the weirdest shit ever. Like, honestly, I don't think I was supposed to say that word.
We got kids in the audience.
Yeah,
man.
I know. I wasn't supposed to say that word.
It's okay. They're my kids. All
okay,
of them.
That's you hear a lot worse at home.
That's like the one word every kid heard, too. They're all playing their 3D. It's like...
I want the next Majora's Mask tweak. I want Nintendo to do what Nintendo does and wow me. Like, do something that Sony's not going to do, Microsoft's not going to do. They're not going to take that risk. They're not going to be that smart. Like, do something that's just going to blow me out of the water. Yeah. I really want a game where I play Zelda.
You know, I think they tried. If you look at Skyward Sword, and like, you know, the opinions differ on that title, right? They created an overworld that was in the
Link
clouds,
was
right? Like, I mean, think of other games that have that. Well, there aren't any, right? You had a battle on your bird against this giant flying dragon. Like, it had all this variety. You fought that weird, like, scaly, like, soft-toe monster and stuff.
Great.
Like, it was like a Miyazaki cartoon,
right?
Yeah. Like, I thought they tried a lot of cool stuff,
they
but
did.
it didn't quite work.
Wait, a Miyazaki
there, right?
cartoon or a really bad Godzilla movie?
No, like a Miyazaki anime.
Thin line.
Yeah.
Well, Spirit Tracks let you play as Zelda, right? But she was dead.
She was dead.
It's like, great, thanks, guys.
Hey, the puzzles in that game were awesome.
No, they were great.
You take that back. Step off.
All I said was she was dead. That's a fact.
Legend of Zelda Choo Choo Train. Jose loves it.
All right, so audience... Tomorrow, Nintendo releases or announces a new Zelda 2D.
Yeah.
All right. Couple people. 3D.
Yeah. Wow.
The 3Ds have it. I hope they're listening. Nintendo, do that. All right. We're gonna take a quick break, and Eric's gonna give away some codes. And when we come back, our final game, 2D versus 3D, Metroid.
Ah. I thought it was Adventures of Lolo.
Thank you.
I just cleared my street pass queue, so we are back. It's all that matters at a street pass event. You can't mess around with that. So Metroid is probably Nintendo series, one of the highest in my opinion, like very near and dear to me. I will never forget two games the first time I played them, and that was Gyromite. It was a bad game, but I love the music. I like Hip Tanaka's work a lot. I didn't know what that was when I was a kid, but I just loved that video games had more than just beeps and boops and deets and dots and sounds.
Did you play it with the robot?
No, but
oh, really?
But,
interesting.
No, I played with my sister. I was like, "Hey, hit A right now. Nice. Open that door for me." But then Metroid was the other because I'd never played anything like that. I couldn't believe. First of all, I liked the idea of sci-fi. I guess that was the game that put me onto that. But then it just became about, wow, this is a really big world and a maze, and it's all 2D and it's really hard, and but it's also really good. So I really love Metroid. So the question for this panel, and we all love Metroid. 2D or 3D? What was the better game, or what is the better game for Metroid?
That's easy.
It's always easy.
No, it's.
It is.
I think in this case it's 3D, and I really, really love Super Metroid. I think it's one of the best games of all time. It's definitely my top 10, and I'll never forget like the just the feeling of walking into like the derelict space station and you know seeing all those little bugs swarming around. It's just so cool, like the feel of it. And I always loved the scanning. Like, for some odd reason, the scanning through walls thing just blew my mind that you could discover secrets like that. But Metroid Prime, man, the first time I played it, I was blown away. I just thought it was so cool. Like, they had taken everything that I loved about the original games, like this sense of, like, being completely lost in this world, like this, almost like the first Alien movie, right, which obviously has a lot of similarities with the female hero and Ridley and all that, right?
That's right.
It had this it had this amazing feeling to it. And then you kept on playing Metroid Prime, and you're like, why is this so good? Like, it's made in Texas, you know? Like... It was no offense, but
that was no vote of confidence.
No,
then.
But
R.I.P. Andrew Goldfarb.
Yeah, but yeah, I think you're right. Like Western games at that point on like Nintendo systems, there wasn't that reputation, or even on any Japanese.
Well,
system.
You had Half-Life, right? You had games on the
PC
from that were that good,
but
on consoles, we were used to games from like Acclaim and all these guys, and they were never that great. You know, Turok. Obviously, it happened before that. It was pretty good. But, like, Metroid Prime was just so good. And you, like, walk into a level, and the entire level is crooked. Like, all the architecture is crooked. And you hadn't seen that in other first-person shooters. They, you know, the level designers were struggling with not letting you clip through walls when they're straight. And this game did it all at an angle. It was just so good. 3D,
I really like that you brought up Turok, because the first time I played that game and I went to jump on something, I fell and didn't land on it.
Yep.
And then 10 more times I tried and I fell. But with Metroid Prime, the first time I jumped to a platform, I landed on it and I was like, how did they do that?
They tilted the camera.
And then it said, made in Texas. And I was like, wow.
That's Metroid Prime power. Definitely solved the problem of platforming in a first-person game. Before that, I mean, on PC it was sort of getting there, but I think Metroid on console completely established
it. Is that problem solved?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Think of Titanfall and how natural that feels now,
sure.
Right? Like
Mirror's Edge,
you can land. Mirror's Edge was hard though, right? That's all about making the jump. But they did this thing. When you jump, the camera just tilts slightly down. They give you the double jump, so even if you kind of miscalculate it a little bit, you can correct yourself, and it just works, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Plus the switching to 3D when you're in a ball is like the coolest thing ever.
That's so cool, yeah.
I think it's interesting because I went back and played Super Metroid after I played Metroid Prime. So I played those out of order. And I really was not impressed with Super Metroid. I thought it was good.
What?
I liked playing it. But I had already played Zero Mission.
Take a point away from getting fired.
But I think Zero Mission's a better 2D Metroid game than Super Metroid.
I agree.
Wow.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's the pinnacle
Ooh, this
of
man.
Heresy.
But that's the
absolute heresy.
My son only plays two games.
I love
Minecraft and Zero Mission.
Really?
Yeah. I love how it modifies the original game so much. I think it's great. I love the Zero Suit parts of it. That's great. But that's not my favorite game. My favorite is definitely Metroid Prime also. And I actually, we recently did our top games of all time lists, like personal ones. And my number one was Metroid Prime. And the reason I gave among many, like, I agree with everything Paris says. And I feel like this game's not even worth talking about. It's so perfect and great. Like, so many people have said so much about it. But one thing that I think is really important to remember is that was, like, the last time Nintendo was at the top of its game tech-wise. And it was the best-looking game out. And that's right. No question about it.
Blew the doors off of anything else on console at its time.
Yeah, and there was just, you know, at that year, there was, you know what's funny, IGN gave Game of the Year to Battlefield 1942.
That year?
Yeah.
What?
But it was a really close vote.
I was powerless.
You can't spell ignorant with that IGN.
But obviously, at the time, you know, there was...
I'm going to go back and change that. Is there a wiki I can go to?
There's a CMS you can go
sorry,
to.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do
no,
that.
It's fine.
You know, we actually came up with that joke. That's ours.
Oh, really?
We created that one, yeah. Yeah, we had t-shirts with ignorant.
Oh, well, then now I hate it.
Yeah. All right, Sam, go ahead. Right, finish go your point. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. So I think at the time... first-person shooters were really focused on multiplayer that year, especially, and that became a really fun thing. And people really liked Halo right after that. And I think like to have like this like kind of like solitary first-person experience is something that we've also lost. We just don't get that much anymore. I think Portal is a great example of like a great first-person shooter that's followed on the heels of Metroid Prime. But there's not enough of those games, and there's definitely not enough of Nintendo games like that anymore.
I just love how focused the story is too, right? I mean, you can hardly call it a story. But it's so clear. It's not like most first-person shooters where like run into a room, kill all the enemies. Like you actually have this purpose. Like you're marooned there, you're stuck there, you're trying to get all your stuff back and just get out of there, basically.
Yeah, no, you totally nailed it. That's the difference between Metroid Prime and every other first-person shooter. Like most other first-person shooters, you're walking down this long hallway, things are blowing up, and everyone's screaming at you. They're like, ah, I got it out of that, and you're like, oh my god, I got it. And they're like, you did it.
Prepare for Titanfall.
Yeah.
Prepare for Titanfall.
But Metroid Prime was just like, it was very desolate, which is like, no one ever goes, we're making a first-person shooter. It's desolate. Like, okay.
And empty.
And it's made in Texas. But that's why I loved it. It was just like very... like quiet and lonely, and like you weren't getting transmissions the whole time, and you were in Metroid Prime 3.
And that music, man.
Yeah.
But in the first one, I mean, it was really just you. You're just a bounty hunter, and they nailed that feeling that they had in the original Metroid, where it was just like, I don't know where to go, I don't know what to do. Like, let's just figure this out. Let's upgrade our suit. Like, let's find cool stuff and kill bad guys and see what happens. So I'm going with Metroid Prime, 3D Metroid games.
Even the ones from Tecmo?
Team Ninja.
That never happened.
R.I.P. Oh, no, that's right. They're still around. But
what did IGN give that game?
I don't remember.
Yeah, you can't spell ignorant with that.
Wait, how much?
What did we give that grade?
Who reviewed it?
Mid-8s.
Nobody.
Mid-8s?
No one on this panel.
All right. Yeah.
All right, we're good.
Okay, Martin.
I love the three of you. The three of you are three of my favorite people.
Why do you keep doing this?
You are all just terribly wrong. Jesus Christ. Okay, seriously. So we had a like quick powwow a day or two ago about this podcast, and I said that Metroid Prime is the most overrated game of all time.
What?
Oh my God.
It was weird.
Boo this man.
Marty. Ryan punched me in the eye. Yep. Sam stabbed me in the foot, and Pear just docked my pay.
Marty, I have some bad news for you.
My bank account is just like indescribably lower. To me, Super Metroid is the game that epitomizes like atmosphere. Like that is the thing that any game like past it that wants to do environmental storytelling just hasn't held a candle to it. Things like, I mean, you have modern things like BioShock, you have Gone Home, you have things that try to tell a story with the sense of place and the lack of, you know, dialogue or voices. And Metroid, or Super Metroid to me, just nails it into an incomparable
It's too purple.
Degree. It's super purple. It's super. Did you live through the early to mid 90s?
9.5, too purple.
Yeah. Yeah, that was all of the 90s. Everything was purpled and covered in ninjas.
I believe it was from Nintendo.
Thanks,
Clinton. Amazing.
Yeah. Those are great times.
But wait, everything you described is sort of Metroid Prime, right?
Okay, so to me, I'm going to be the weird guy where like I'm very glad I didn't have to write about Metroid Prime ever. Because
I'm glad,
Metroid
too, Prime. You didn't write about it.
You were like 12. No one wants to read what you were writing.
I don't like Metroid.
To me, like Metroid doesn't
you
have...
Sound off in the comments below.
Metroid just doesn't have that... Metroid Prime, the 3D series, just doesn't have that like je ne sais quoi to me. That doesn't... I don't
you have so, to explain what the je ne sais quoi
je
is.
Je is... It doesn't. Ne is the thing.
I don't know what.
Don't try to trick us with a big word that we don't understand.
It didn't have the
purple.
The purple. It did not have the purple to pull me through. And it's the weirdest game. Like, it's one of those... I do not have the words to describe why I should by any means love Metroid Prime. Everything you guys said about it. Like, you know what games I love.
I should love Metroid Prime. I'm actually kind of surprised.
I should love first
person
shooters.
Did you try rolling in a ball? Because it's like Banjo-Kazooie if you roll in a ball.
Should I just roll in the ball the entire time? Yeah. Okay, that's how I deal with, like, the bus.
All of life's problems can be solved by rolling.
I feel like we need to play it again with you.
I would love a Let's Play. Yeah. Teach Marty to love Metroid Prime.
I mean,
that's why right now we're going to play through the entire Metroid Prime trilogy.
The door's locked.
I bet someone in here can sequence break and do it in like 2 hours.
I'm sure.
Why am I Tingle?
Because Tingle looks like he's from Germany.
Oh, okay.
You also look like you have the tattoos from True Detective.
What's up, everybody?
I mean, I agree that Super Metroid is amazing. I think my favorite Metroid moment of all time was in Super Metroid. It's when you go through that glass tube, and I had gone through it like 100,000 times.
Yep.
And then I'm like, I'm just going to put a big bomb right here. And like, it busts the glass, and you're like, no way.
Yeah.
Like, you can go outside, and then you're in the water. And so
see,
like,
I did that in Metroid Prime first, so.
And the music is all making farty noises, and it's
Sam,
great.
You're really weird. Like, you're the I consider you the retro guy at IGN.
I didn't
you
like keep... Metroid or Zelda growing up. They're my favorite series now.
That's weird.
So wow. Strange.
I was a Mario kid.
Yeah. All right.
What about you? What's your favorite?
Yeah, wow. I'm really torn here because I feel like Metroid Prime, or especially after Metroid Prime, Metroid 2D Metroid changed a lot, where 2D Metroid became a lot more focused and them trying to kind of direct you. And Metroid Prime, for the most part, would let you get lost for a while before they'd be like, hey, incoming message. And then they'd be like, you know, check over there. You'll be all right. I think the 3D Metroids win for me only because I had never played a game, and granted this is being done a lot today, but I'd never played a game where they really encapsulated you being the person. You are in the suit. You are Samus. Like, I don't think any first-person game had figured out quite how Retro Studios figured out the way to do a first-person game where, you know, you had mist on the visor, where you had reflections every once in a while.
They still
shot something up close.
They seriously still haven't.
You don't see it as often, but look at something like Titanfall where you get inside of the Titan, you're in a robot. You know it, the way it moves, the way everything is happening on screen. You feel it. And Halo 4 also, like that. There were some Metroid Prime art directors on that. They also helped bring that feel to Halo as well. But I think that
Goat Simulator was like that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Really,
IGN's
like
Game of the Year 2014.
That's right.
Goatee.
So I'm gonna go with
the
3D Metroids. This was really hard for me though, because I do feel like 2D sort of changed maybe for the worse. I know some folks didn't really react to Fusion that well because it was the first game that sort of started the hey, let's direct you a little more. You have this objective in this smaller area. Find secrets while you're at it.
I didn't like the love story.
Yeah, but I also think that
Heartless.
Metroid Prime kind of maxed out on Metroid Prime. I think 2 and 3 had their struggles, and it was Retro trying to find another direction for the same ideas, and I don't think they really nailed it. I mean, Metroid Prime 2 tried the dark light worlds, tried the dark light weapons, they took away and changed, they tried new visors. The visor effects, by the way, so cool for their time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if anything, they got it right once, and they got it right so well, mm-hmm. and then, you know, it was just kind of sloped downward from there.
That's why I'm anti-sequel now.
Oh, really?
Well, I'm kind of.
I misheard that.
I'm sick of them.
You're anti-sequel?
We're talking about games that I've played 32 of.
Okay.
But I'd
rather play a new game than another Mario.
If Metroid gets announced tomorrow, which we're hoping, right? I mean, Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze is done. What is Retro Studios doing right now? The new game has started. We all know that. They finished Donkey Kong in November. What it is, they're not saying yet anyway, but Reggie will wear a Metroid pin to, you know, an award show. So who knows?
It's a tease.
But it is a tease. But if tomorrow Metroid gets announced, 2D or 3D?
3D.
Yeah, no question, 3D.
3D.
2D, absolutely. You're all awful. I'm not going to talk to you tomorrow at work.
And I'm going to vote 3D as well.
Jose! Honey,
sorry. Love you
chose it wisely.
2D Metroid, announced tomorrow. 3D Metroid, announced tomorrow. 3Ds have it.
That's really close.
Right. Yeah, that was really close.
Just want Metroid.
That's also that.
We'll take anything.
What about Pinball Perspective?
Don't say we'll take anything.
Yeah, that's right. Metroid Prime Pinball 2 coming to 3DS.
Why hasn't there been a new 2D Metroid in such a long time? It's crazy, right?
That's right.
Well, Other M was kind of in between, you know.
That story has to be told because there have been obviously games in development that have failed at some point, mm-hmm. and like things have been scrapped. Like there has been a 2D Dread. Metroid in a playable state at some point.
Oh yeah, Metroid Dread, the one everyone would talk about.
What
right?
a terrible name, also
that
Metroid
really
Dread.
That's cool. Yeah. Metroid's coming.
That was at one E3. We got this sheet with Nintendo titles in development, and like Metroid Dread is on it. Like kills what? Me. And they're like, oh, that's nothing.
Yep. Yeah. I think it's weird that at some point a term was created called Metroidvania, and we don't get new Metroid games like that, and we don't get new Castlevania games like that anymore. Yeah, what the hell is going on?
That's our regular panel for you. What we'd like to do next, and you know, I'll kind of call on folks, is we're going to open up for a Q&A. All right? So for the next 15 minutes, you can come up. Eric has the mic, actually, so he's going to come to you. All right, so he's going to pick you. Ask a question, and we will answer. Raise your hand if you have a question.
We said to sit down, Mark.
Shaky fishbowl.
Hi, what's your name? Greetings and salutations.
Okay. Jose, you know how to speak Spanish?
I do, a little bit. Poquito.
What
do you got?
De donde eres?
Huh?
De donde eres?
Soy de Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico?
Sí.
I don't know what just happened.
They just announced a new Metroid game, you guys.
Did we just move drugs across the border?
Where are you from?
Mexico.
Oh, cool. All right.
Oh, yeah, by the way...
That wasn't your question, I hope. All
right, go. What's one thing you hate about Nintendo?
I'll start. One thing I dislike about Nintendo is possibly the arrogance-ignorance problem, where Nintendo sort of plays the game differently because there's a lot of pride in being a 30-plus, well, 125-year-old company, but a 30-plus-year-old player in the games industry. And I feel like in order for them to succeed, they need to keep their eye on their competitors a little closer.
I agree with that. I mean, I'm always shocked when I meet a famous Nintendo designer and, you know, you talk about gaming in general and you realize that they really haven't played the games that we call Game of the Year, right? Like, you'll talk to the designer of Zelda and he's like, oh, yeah, I've heard of Uncharted.
Yeah, but you didn't play Journey.
Yeah. Exactly. Skyrim sounds like Skyward Sword, but that's all I know about it, right? Like, that. I feel like they just need to take one day a week off and play some of these games, because that's how you, I think, your horizons are just broadened by seeing other games, and even indie titles, right, can teach us so much. But I would say the bigger issue, which completely conflicts with my idea of taking a day off, would be they're just not fast enough. I you know, they make such great games, and they often so unique and different from other stuff on the market. I just want them to do more.
Pear, they should use the eighth day that you announced.
Yeah, they
actually do. Okay, we're full circle. All right, Sam.
I'm not a big fan of the pricing or selection on the virtual console. It really bugs me.
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
True statement.
It should be very cheap, and there should be a lot more games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, mine's kind of an extension of that. Like, I want to be able to buy a game on my 3DS and then play it on my Wii U. Like, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not that hard.
Yeah.
It's the same game. It's like a 40-year-old game.
And he buys like every virtual console.
Like,
game.
Just let me pay $5 for Balloon Fight and then never have to do that again, so I can just play it everywhere. I don't even like Balloon Fight.
Did you rebuy Urban Champion?
No, I bought the 3D.
We're
3D
huge
version.
Fans of the 3D Urban Champion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sam and I are
top
big fans
25
of that.
3DS games. That's
yeah, it was in the running for Game of the Year that year.
Yeah.
It was like the 400th game.
2D or 3D?
In the running.
Was that during the Iran-Contra crisis?
It's on my list of top 400 games.
Yeah.
All right, Marty.
That's awful. Yeah, I mean, that's a tough question. I feel like Nintendo just mismanages how they handle with third parties and indies. I think Nintendo's doing really well in terms of, like, inside the house that Nintendo built. Mm-hmm. But they don't manage relationships well with third parties. And you see this, like, growing indie movement on PSN and on Xbox and PC. And, you know, these games are becoming huge and Game of the Year contenders and winners and huge sellers. And we were playing Towerfall the other day.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy crap, that should be on Wii U.
The first thing I said is that on Wii U.
Yeah.
So, no, it's on Booyah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, that's not going to be for long. But Yeah, I mean, Nintendo needs to work on that. Everything we said. Nintendo just listens to this podcast and fixes everything we said,
all your problems solved.
I think the good news is, I mean, they're trying, right? Like at GDC, the Game Developers Conference is next week. You know, they are there courting indie developers, and they're being very vocal about it. But yeah, they needed to take that step much earlier, right? Yep. When Media Molecule was showing Nintendo Little Big Planet, which they did, they should have bought it. They should have grabbed it right there, right? Like, it
would have been a lot better platformer.
And so I think in the US they were just a little too hesitant to really drive, you know, development and own it. And hopefully they'll do it now.
All right. Next question.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah?
Yeah, thanks.
Eric Martin.
He's getting out of the aisle. Look at him. He's getting risky. Yeah.
Hey.
So my question for you guys.
What's your name?
Oh, Daisy.
Hi, Daisy.
Wow, good Nintendo name.
Yeah.
I'm Daisy.
That's a Mario Kart reference. If you played, forget it.
So what is your favorite Nintendo boss battle?
Ooh.
Damn.
That's really good.
Can I go first?
Really wow.
Go. 2D or 3D? Yeah.
Okay, that's really good.
That's my favorite.
Wow.
That's a good head.
My favorite is Wart.
Wart?
From Super Mario Brothers 2.
Wow, you had that quick.
You make him eat vegetables, and then he dies.
So, I'm sure I'm going to regret it, because I'll remember some Metroid boss that was just amazing.
There's just two, Ridley and Kraid.
Like the Metroid Prime battle was amazing, but my favorite one just kind of visually was Phantom Ganon in Ocarina of Time. Like, stepping into that room with all the paintings, and then seeing him disappear and, like, jump out, it was amazing. I love that one.
Yeah. All right. Anyone else? I got mine, but I'll wait.
So, man, this is so tough. I'm going to go with my most recent, just because that's the one that's just popped in my head. But the Bowser fight at the very end of Super Mario 3D World.
Spoilers.
Where he turns into a cat.
Yep. And there's a bunch of cats.
And spoilers.
It's crazy, and it's so awesome, and it looks gorgeous, and it's in HD. Yeah, that's probably my favorite recently.
Yeah, that's really good.
What about Fry Guy?
Fry Guy's really good.
Yeah.
If I have to go with, like, the most memorable to me, it's at the end of Super Metroid when the Metroid dies and you finally have that rainbow crazy Metroid laser. Is that what it was called? Rainbow crazy Metroid.
Rainbow
laser?
Crazy.
That sounds right.
That was the name of it.
Yeah.
Good job.
I think that's just called the Super Metroid.
Finally, when you get the Super Metroid attached to your arm,
it's the titular character.
Yeah, and you just absolutely destroy Mother Brain. Like, to me, that is one of those amazing. And that's
really awesome.
That's an on-the-spot answer, because that's a really good question.
Yeah, that was really
good.
We
honestly could have done a whole show just on that.
That's a great, great topic.
I get asked that on the street
all
the time.
Down. Thank you, Daisy. So my favorite boss battle of all time, I guess because we were talking about Metroid Prime as the last topic, it was fighting the Metroid Prime. I feel like they built it up really well. I was terrified of that thing walking into the room. And I remember even dying a couple of times and just freaking out because there were certain forms or stages for it in typical, you know, 3D boss-like fashion. So I really, really like that.
It was hard, right? Did you die a bunch of times?
Oh, I'm pretty sure I did.
When it turns into that white ghost view of it. And it's like,
so then it has that bowling segment.
Yeah, but it was so good. And it was a great way to cap off just an amazing game.
Yeah. And then you beat it, and it's like, made in Texas.
You actually don't get that in a lot of Nintendo games where, like, the final boss is so hard that when you finally beat it, you have this amazing sense of accomplishment, right? Like, some of the Ganon battles were tough.
Yeah, the Mario battles always let me down because they're so visually interesting, but then it's three bops and you're done. And
ooh, can I cheat? I have one more.
No.
Can I have my worst?
We gotta get more questions. Really quick. We gotta get more questions. All right, quick. You get
real quick, the worst is the Banjo-Kazooie game show thing before Gruntilda.
Oh, yeah.
We have to go through the Prices Right and answer trivia questions about things.
It was really clever, though.
It was really clever, but it was the worst.
I disagree. Yoshi's Story, the cloud boss.
Oh, wait.
It walks in and goes like, froop, 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 froop. And you walk up and you just hit the A button five times. It goes, ba-dum, 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 froop, froop, doom. And so it really takes 5 seconds. You got to play it. It's
all right, sorry, Jose.
No worries. Brian, did you wanna?
Oh, so I won't. If you haven't beaten it, but the end of Wind Waker.
Oh.
With Ganon.
Oh, that's really good.
Good answer.
That is like the moment. That is one of the greatest moments in video game history.
Yeah.
To finally put a sword in his damn head.
Thank you for putting that gently.
Okay.
Very nice.
Kids go to bed now.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Don't forget behind you.
Shrug.
Don't walk too far, Eric. this guy closest to me, I want to go home.
My name is Tyler.
Hey, Tyler.
Hi, Tyler.
Oh, sorry. And I just wanted to know if the Wii U sales pick up from, like, Mario Kart and Smash Bros., Do you think we'll see more third-party support, or is that pretty much over?
Definitely. Yeah. I feel like on the Wii, the reason you saw so many games and so many experiments, even though a lot of them were shovelware, to be honest, or they were trying really hard. Like, EA was trying really hard to get Madden right on Wii, because think about it, you have close to 100 million units sold. You want to try and get in on that, right? You want to try and get people buying your game. So I feel like that's why a lot of publishers were willing to try on Wii, just see what happened. We got a Call of Duty every year on Wii. Why?
Yeah,
I mean, what's the point of that?
With the original Wii, even Rockstar made a game. They made a ping pong game.
That's right.
Right. Like at the very beginning, nobody wanted to make games for it. But the moment the install base was there,
it was such a success. They jumped on the bandwagon and tried to see what they can get out of it, because it was low cost. People were willing to get it as a secondary system, whereas maybe they'd have a next gen system, or your grandma or your mom would get it.
Yeah, right? It's never too late. Especially now, you know, you can port projects over to. There are still Xbox 360 and PS3 games coming, which are honestly pretty easily ported over. But, you know, it'd be obviously nicer to see some new games for the machine.
Yeah I want to see new games. That's what I want to see. You could easily do the whole right-click save as and then save as a Wii.
Is that how
games
works?
Get made, right?
Yeah.
I think that's how games get made.
Marty Sliva at the Only Game Developers Conference.
you change the .PS4 to .WiiU, and then, it's fine.
There you go.
Change the picture on the box, ship it, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Put the IGN logo on it.
All right. Is that all the answers? Anyone else have something?
That was good.
All right. Yeah.
We got someone in front, back.
Front, back.
Captain America.
Okay. Hey, I know you. Hi. Sorry. Shout.
My name's Rob.
Hi, Rob.
And I wanted to know if you guys could resurrect an old franchise for the Wii U, what would it be?
Any franchise or just Nintendo?
Nintendo.
Okay.
Yeah.
How old? Okay.
I got an answer already. ActRaiser. Where is it?
Ooh,
ActRaiser was an amazing Super Nintendo game that a lot of those ideas are invoked today. The idea of open worlds, of building things, of maybe the side-scrolling, not as much, but you can sort of transmutate that into something, you know, 3D or cooler. But ActRaiser today, I don't know if people remember the IP, but it's an amazing game.
Yep. Somewhere Mitch Dyer is slightly aroused right now. Just gotta throw that out there.
So any franchise from a Nintendo platform or like core Nintendo games, I'd say... Earthbound is a good one, obviously.
That's a great answer.
But no, F-Zero, I love F-Zero. I wanted to come back. But classic games, Secret of...
You already said F-Zero, Pear.
But no, like, I gotta cheat.
Come on, you can't cheat. You've only got a certain amount of time.
Chrono Trigger has to come back. It's gotta come back.
Wow, good answer.
Pandering. Rogue Squadron.
Oh.
Whoa!
Wow.
That was good. let's see... Probably Blast Corps. Does anyone remember that game?
Yeah.
That game was so weird.
Deep.
I don't ever play games that are about vehicles crashing into walls. Because I think that's what the box said. It was like, hey, you can get a truck and crash into a wall. And I was like, great. Sign me up.
Time to get moving.
Yeah. But that game was great. And it was insane. Every single level completely flipped the script on you. You had different vehicles. Some played worse than others, obviously. But some were really cool.
That was
and
classic
it was kind of rare, being like, hey, let's...
It was kind of rare.
It was kind of rare. It was rare going, let's just have fun and let's do whatever we want to do here. And that was really cool. I'd like to...
Can you imagine that on new hardware?
Yeah, with like crazy wall destruction physics.
I've never played this game.
Really?
I want to play it now.
You've never played All right.
What system is it for?
N64.
Okay, we're getting in the office.
Yeah. Mine's Space Station Silicon
Valley. I have a Pikachu N64 on my desk.
You're dead to me. Space Station Silicon Valley.
That's really good.
That was the weirdest.
That's a good one.
That was the weirdest. I want weird things, and I want to have animals turn into other animals in cars and to be able to solve problems on a space station.
That developer may be a little busy nowadays, though.
They made like a couple Grand Theft Autos, right?
Yeah, but they have lots of free time now.
Yeah, that was DMA, right?
DMA Design, right. Now Rockstar.
Okay. All right, we have time for one last question. Eric, the man with the mic, is going to find you. Last question, so please make it good.
Oh, what do you have for breakfast?
Sorry. We should do a jingle or sing a song while he's walking around.
It's the last question you'll ever... I don't know any songs like that. That was good. Let's just do Eye of the Tiger.
That's not good. We're going to have to charge for this podcast.
There we go.
All right, so it seems...
Closer and louder.
And what's your name?
My name's Iron.
Hi.
So it seems like with every installment of Zelda, you know, going from 2D to 3D, you know, going from Ocarina of Time to Wind Waker type of graphics, going to you know, a little bit darker with Twilight Princess, but you know, on the older hardware. Every time Nintendo makes a Zelda game, it seems like they kind of alienate a certain, you know, amount more of the fan base. So what do you feel like they need to do with the next one? so that they can kind of bring everyone back together. That, you know, oh, I hate Wind Waker graphics. I don't want that anymore. You know, that can. I don't want gritty. You know, we're arguing about it today, right?
Sure. Well, first of all, I think that what happens is every time they announce a new Zelda, everybody gets really mad. And then, like, 5 years later, it's the best thing in the world. Like, when I was around when Wind Waker got announced, and people were like, are you kidding me? Where's the blood? And now people are like, oh, it's one of the most beautiful cinematic experiences of all time.
Yeah, and look at, well, but the inverse of that was Twilight Princess.
Sure.
When that got announced, people were ready to run through the wall. They were out of their minds. I don't believe it. This is the Zelda I've always wanted. And then how did that turn out? It scored really well.
It turned out well, yeah.
It turned out well, but I feel over time some of the love has eroded as well. Like, it goes both ways, I almost feel. Mm-hmm.
That's life, Jose. A lot of the love erodes.
That's dark.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate Nintendo changing things up a little bit, right? Like, when we first saw Wind Waker, we were shocked because we'd been teased with different graphics before. So it's not like they come out and they're like, hey, we're going to go back to the Link to the Past kind of hand-drawn look, right? Which everybody would have probably loved that type of presentation. Mm-hmm. They showed you, like, this battle against Ganon, and then, like, a year later, they're like, and now it looks like this. And so you felt like they kind of pulled the rug out underneath you. I feel like they could come out with a game with any art style right now, except for Skyward Sword, that where I would be really excited. I do think it needs to look more like, you know, I wouldn't say Skyrim. I feel like Skyrim is kind of like depressing, gritty,
dark.
Didn't
say it
dark,
had to look like,
right?
Skyrim. It just said it had to play like it.
The tech demo from Wii U is great, but I still want that whimsical look to where the characters are kind of goofy looking, you know, like the villagers.
Very Japanese.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad.
Yeah, but by the way, if Zelda had come out and looked like Ni No Kuni, I would have been ecstatic.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
A game like that just looks awesome, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I love Nintendo fans. They're the greatest thing in this room. But
Andering.
Some of the best Nintendo
games... But there's a Coca-Cola machine in this room!
But some of the best Zelda games ever made were made because Nintendo was just like, hey, we're going to make this and we're not going to ask anybody what they think. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if they asked everybody... You know, do you want Majora's Mask? On paper, we would have been like, that sounds crazy. Or Wind Waker would have been like, that. Those are crazy ideas. But they don't, I actually appreciate it when people do ignore us a little bit and they just stick to the vision and they make something cool that none of us ever would have thought of. Sometimes that's a terrible idea.
But then I want them to go all the way because, like, New Super Mario Brothers had, like, one level that looked like a Van Gogh painting.
Yeah.
Man, that is cool. Why didn't they make a whole game, like, with, you know, with expressionistic modern art? Like, it could have had this all new theme, but they did
it.
This little tease, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think, though, they need to make it look like a game where the kids on the message boards don't go, that's a baby game, right? Mm-hmm. It needs to look like something you'd find on the other consoles as well, just for the Wii U to sell to a different audience.
I just need it to play more where it's not holding my hand, and I need it to be 3D and be a world that I want to be in. And I feel like they got closer with A Link Between Worlds. I don't know if they got it completely right, because I think most of the map, when you start that game, you have free reign until you get to Death Mountain, and then you run into maybe one or two things that can kill you. I want that to happen closer. I want that to happen sooner. I want to have boundaries where I'm going to be like, man, I can't go through there. That's hard. I don't know what... And I want to sort of not know what to do and then figure it out on my own. And I feel like A Link Between Worlds took them a little step closer. I hope that they continue on that progression.
You could make it in a way where it doesn't hold your hand, but like you step out into the desert and it goes... Are you sure you want to go there? Because you only have 3 hearts, right? Like, the game could help you a little bit, and then, you know, the daring ones will say, yeah, of course I want to go there. Let me try it. I think they could make a game like that. It'd be really cool.
Right. I like that.
Dark Souls. Yeah.
All right, well...
I was just about to say, Dark Souls 2. Well, 9.0, IGN.
We got to cut here, because we're a couple minutes over, but I want to thank you all for being here.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
On short notice... This really means a lot, sincerely. And thank you for listening to Nintendo Voice Chat. As you know, IGN has a family of podcasts you can check out about PlayStation, Xbox, movies, comics, you name it. If you really want to support us, though, make sure you click over and come over to IGN.com. Check out our articles, features, videos. We've got it all right there.
Watch all our videos. All of them.
Twice.
Don't block ads.
I think that would literally take forever.
we kind of turn out a lot of video content. But thanks for listening, and we will see you next... Well, you'll hear us next week.
Thank you.
Yeah. Woo!
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.